Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Courageous Parenting. But first, here's the message, Chosen.
Take God's word and turn with me to Romans, the 9th chapter. We're going to be talking about themes such as man's responsibility in view of God's sovereignty. We're going to be talking about predestination and election, and we're certainly not going to do anything but skim the surface. People have been talking about these issues for two millennia, and we're not going to solve some of the questions that I know you may have regarding this truth of both divine sovereignty and man's responsibility, which is side by side in the scripture. Both are true. But really, this message is about the nature and the character of God. It's all about Him, who He is, and what He does for His own glory and for our salvation. Beginning in verse 14 of Romans 9, what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then He has mercy on whomever He wills, and He hardens whomever He wills. You will say to me then, what does He find fault? Why does He still find fault? For who can resist His will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded, that is made, say to its maker, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel to honorable use and another to dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show His wrath and to make known His power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Why? In order to make known the riches of His glory for vessels of mercy, which He has prepared beforehand for glory. Here's the thing about life. It's not about you. It's all about God and His purpose for our lives, for your life. The fact is, God wills to choose and to use whom He pleases, always. And at first, He chooses the Jewish nation, calling out Abraham, and through Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. As a matter of fact, earlier in this same passage, if you're in Romans chapter 9, He speaks of the privileges of the Jewish nation, the people of Israel. And here's what He says regarding these privileges. Verse 4, they are Israelites, and to them they belong the adoption, that is, Israel is called the children of God, God's chosen people. The glory, speaking of the Shekinah, glory and presence of God in the wilderness, in the temple. The covenants, the Mosaic covenants, the Davidic covenants, the Noahic covenants, all the covenants of God in the Old Testament. The giving of the law came through the Jewish people. Moses, as the hand of God, gave him the law. The worship and the promises. So from the promises of the prophets and the patriarchs, the great people of the Old Testament, to them belong the patriarchs, and their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. God made the Jewish people and chose them and gave them through the law, through the prophets, through the patriarchs, through this people, the glory of His love. And the purpose of His call to Israel was to be a light to the nations. And so God raised up the Israeli people, and there is no explanation for the people called Israel. There's no explanation for the survival of the people of Israel except for the plan and the purposes of God. And this is all fulfilled in Christ, because through the Jewish people, through the Jewish nation, came the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the world. So God chose the Jewish people. He chose Abraham of the peoples of the world. Among Abraham, in the family of Abraham, he chose Isaac. And from Isaac's family, he chose Jacob rather than Esau. And this is God's prerogative always to choose, because ultimately it is his plan and his purposes, his predetermined plan that fulfills his desires for all of the earth. This is what Romans is all about. That God has saved himself for himself a people. The theme of Romans is that we are not saved by works or religious morality or race, not what we earn or deserve, or man seeking God, but always God seeking man. God seeking us, that this salvation is not received through nationality, whether Israeli nationality or American nationality. Christianity is not an American religion. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all the world. And the Jewish people misunderstood and they rejected Christ. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God. But God made us for himself. And therefore, I want to speak to you briefly about God's predetermined, predestined rule. Because as we were reading this passage here, we realized that everything is centered and controlled by him. And always, always, our focus in life, our focus in our witness, our focus in preaching the gospel should never be centered in ourselves. So often today in our generation, there's so much about us. How to have a happy family, how to have a great marriage, how to have a successful career, how to be fulfilled in your life. But the Bible and the message of God reminds us that we will never be fulfilled, we'll never be happy in life until we discover God's purpose, God's plan in our lives. That it's not about us, that it is about who he is and what he has done for us. And knowing God is the purpose and the pursuit of a lifetime. Who is this God? Let's remember that God is just, that God is righteous, that God is holy, that he is pure, that he is perfect, that he is mighty and almighty. And along with that, he is absolutely kind and generous and loving and forgiving. Now, to say that God is sovereign is to say that he has absolute authority. He is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful, so he is free to do always as he chooses. That's sovereignty. And the Bible is full of this from cover to cover. We may never fully comprehend it. Certainly this side of eternity, we won't fully understand it. How God is in control of everything, everything in our lives. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12 says, "Yours, O God, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. You rule over all." Some deny him, some defy him, and yet God is in charge and in control of all things. His eternal purposes will be fulfilled with you or without you. Before time began, You are in the heart and mind of God. Now, I know that blows my mind. I'm sure it does yours as well, to think that God himself could have a plan beforehand in your life. In the infinite heart and mind of God, there was a plan to save each one of us. The Bible says the Lamb of God, Jesus, was slain before the foundation of the world. And God loved you and knew you before you were born and in your mother's womb. You were made, you were fashioned, you were formed by God himself. God chose you to be his child. He elected you and selected you, if you are a believer in Christ, as his chosen one. You are chosen. We are chosen in Christ. It is Christ that seals the deal, that chooses us and then controls us by his Spirit. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, that you would go and bring forth much fruit." So you are God's child, not because one day you decided to follow Jesus, but because in the heart and love of God, he brought you into his family. Now, does that mean, as some suggest, that Jesus died only for the elect? There's a brand of theology that moves through these issues with profound and persuasive words regarding the election and the selection and the predeterminations of God. The bottom line ultimately becomes, who chooses? Does God choose you, or do you choose God? Well, God chooses you, but you must also choose him.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Chosen. God commissioned parents as the first line of defense for a child's heart. And in a culture characterized by defiance and disobedience, it's all the more important to raise children who will love, serve, and honor the Lord. That's why we want to send you the new edition of Dr. Graham and his wife Deb's book, Courageous Parenting. This parenting classic dives deep into what it takes to be the kind of mom or dad that models God's heart for your kids. Courageous Parenting is our thanks for your gift today. So call now to request your copy of Courageous Parenting when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word parent to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or give a gift online or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Chosen.
Let me just give you some verses that show us that all of us are capable of responding to the grace and the sovereign love of God. Verse 16 of John 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes," that means everyone can believe, "in him should not perish but have eternal life." Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned, everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Christ died for all. Christ did not die only for the elect. He died for all. All can experience his love. Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us," who? "All. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" And then here's one from John, 1 John chapter 2. "He is the propitiation," that is the satisfaction for our sins, "and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." 1 John 4:14, And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Revelation 22 and verse 17, the last invitation of the Bible. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life freely and without price. Whosoever will may come. God has a will. His will be done. But you also, God has given you a will and the response mechanism, which is faith, to believe and to trust in God. But while God chooses and in his predetermined plans, he knows who will choose him and who will not choose him. And yet all have the opportunity to respond to the gospel. This is why we must preach the gospel. This is why we pray for missionaries and send missionaries and evangelize, because everyone needs Jesus. Amen. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing or wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who desires, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Now, take a deep breath. God chooses. God calls us. God selects us. God elects us. God brings us. We don't find God, he finds us. His Spirit moves in our hearts. This is all the work of God. It is for him and by him and unto him. It's all him. But in God's plan and God's purposes, because he wanted children to love him and follow him, he didn't make us puppets on a string, predetermined robots. But he gave us a part of the divine image, which is now shattered by sin, but yet a part of the divine image of God. He gave us the right, if you will, and the responsibility to choose him. So God chose you, and he's calling you, and he's choosing you today. He has elected you. Do you want to know whether you're among the elect or not? Then come to Jesus today. Settle that issue. I like what D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, used to say. He said, oh God, save the elect, and then elect some more. And it is the heart of God more and more to bring people to himself. There's no limits to the grace of God, no boundaries to the power of the blood of Jesus. He will save all who will come to him. But we also know that some choose not to believe and not to receive and reject him. And thus, in our passage we read, we see God's perfect righteousness in judging those who reject his sovereign will and purpose. We do have a responsibility. We do have an accountability to God. And so he talks about Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. You know, no doubt the story of Pharaoh. Even if you hadn't read the Bible, you've seen the movie, no doubt. And Moses and the Ten Commandments and the Pharaoh, the powerful ruler of the world, and Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt, and God sent his servant Moses to say, let my people go. And Pharaoh began to refuse. 10 times, Moses went to him, and 10 times he rejected God's plan and God's purpose to let his people go. With that 10 rejections came 10 plagues, judgments upon the people of Egypt. None who survived unless they were under the blood of the Passover. But Pharaoh is an example of someone, because it speaks of Pharaoh hardening his heart against God, that God hardened his heart and that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. 20 times it says in that Exodus experience that Pharaoh hardened his heart, or that God hardened his heart. 10 times Pharaoh hardened his heart, 10 times it says God hardened his heart. So which is it? The answer is both. Pharaoh had every opportunity to receive the mercy and the grace of God by obeying God and letting the people of God go. And yet he was recalcitrant, he was rebellious. And as he did, he would begin hardening his heart stronger and stronger until it became like concrete. And so God hardened his heart because Pharaoh was hardening his own heart. And God hardened his heart. He said, all right, then your will be done. And the question is, will you respond to the will of God? Because great judgment came upon Pharaoh and Egypt because they resisted the plan and the purposes of God. They turned away from God's Passover and way out. He hardened his heart. He first hardened his own heart, and then God hardened his heart. So, that can happen to you. The good news is that Jesus took your judgment and your sin and your rebellion and satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. Jesus died for you, and he will give you a new heart. He'll take that cold, stony heart and give you a brand new heart. Romans 10, 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So here is the way I view it. On this side of heaven, there is a door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we stand on this side of eternity and we see a door. This door to eternity, this door to heaven. And on our side of the door, it says, whosoever will may come. And if we walk through that door by faith and trust in Christ, whosoever will means you, whosoever will means me. And so we walk through that door and we get on the other side and life is over. The door closes behind us and we turn around and you know what that door says on the other side? You didn't choose me, but I chose you. It's a matter of perspective. God is sovereign. He has a purpose. He has a plan. You're accountable to God. You are made by God for God. He has a right to do with you anything he chooses to do with you or with me. But with that great sovereignty comes great accountability. Why? The last verse that we read spoke of this, for the mercy and the grace, the redemptive promises of God, so that you could be saved and be a light to the nations, be a light to the world.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Chosen. There's a spiritual battle raging for the very souls of our children. And God has commissioned parents as the first and best line of defense to protect kids against the attacks of our culture and the enemy. We want to equip you to fight the good fight of faith for your family by sending Pastor Graham and his wife Deb's book, Courageous Parenting. This new edition offers practical advice and spiritual encouragement to help you guard, guide, and strengthen your child's faith so they can grow into bold followers of Jesus. And it's our special thanks for your gift today. Your support helps boldly proclaim God's word around the world through PowerPoint. So thank you for your gift today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word parent to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or give a gift online or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
You know, the book of Romans is definitely not for the faint of heart. It's often challenging to understand, especially these great passages concerning deep theological biblical truth. And when it comes to know how we should live, Paul sets the bar extremely high. God sets the bar extremely high. He reminds us that God makes the ultimate choice in all matters of life. God is God. He is sovereign. So it is naive for any of us to think that we ultimately control our own lives and destinies. We don't. God is in control of our lives. Our culture has made things far more complicated than necessary. Over time, we have added layer of layers to rituals and rites and religion. But you know, this religious tradition that so many people profess, or our theological pedigree, does nothing to guarantee our position as children of God. Let's remember what Paul said to his brethren, the Jews, that we are not saved, that we don't go to heaven because of our earthly birth. No, it's because we have a new birth in Jesus Christ. We can be born again. So what does all of this mean? How do we embrace these tremendous theological truths? Let me suggest that you need to begin by letting God be God in your life. Quit trying to unravel or demystify His sovereignty. Some of the things concerning the sovereignty of God will wait for eternity, filed for later. He chose us before we were born. He offered His grace and His love to us. All of this He declared with power by His resurrection. That's enough truth to save the whole world. And then one more thing. Let's elevate our view of God's all-knowing wisdom. Avoid the temptation of bringing God's righteousness and omnipotence down to a level where we can understand it. Because the fact is, we will never understand some of the mysteries of God this side of eternity. All in all, what I want to encourage you to do is to rejoice in your new birth and in the choice that God has made you to call you His sons and daughters, and then that you would tell others of the good news of Jesus Christ.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Courageous Parenting, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PARENT to 59789. And next time, Dr. Graham brings a message about how you've been called to share the greatest news in the world with others, whatever the cost. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.